How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Sixer Sense Podcast. I'm your host, Lucas, with Chris, and we are recording after the Grizzlies game. Chris, this is the reason why we can't have nice things, right? As Sixers fans.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we are back to talk about the Sixers again.
It is unfortunate this week. I mean, gosh, can't.
Yeah, I mean, I'd really appreciate talking about something.
I think nice. I'm going to be just as depressed as you usually are, Chris, which is not a good sign for us.
Yeah, you know, I tried like the little optimistic angle before the season, and that clearly didn't work. So yeah. I'm pretty much back to being just everything sucks, and life is meaningless, and the Sixers are going to
disappoint us again,
ruin my spirit over and over again, and I'll let them do it for some reason. Let's jump into this last week-long slate here, Lucas. They started off with a loss to the Magic, 98-86. 29-point game from McCain, one of his best nights so far, but just another crappy all-around performance beyond McCain, which has been a bit of a theme of this past week. Really McCain and then everybody else just not playing as well as McCain. But we're going to really jump in here with the Miami Heat game, Lucas. That was a game that Philadelphia led at halftime. They had Joel Embiid.
19-point lead at one point in the second quarter.
Yeah, 19-point lead that they blew. Joel Embiid, Paul George both played in this game. McCain had 20 points, but Embiid had 11 points in 31 minutes. George had 18 on 13 shots in 33 minutes. Miami came back, obviously. Second half, third quarter really was just all Miami. 106-89 was the final score. The Heat outscored Philly by 19 in that third quarter. Fourth quarter didn't really matter at that point. This has been a big mounting theme, I think, with Philly this season, Lucas, is that they really struggle in the second half. And it has been an especially noteworthy, noticeable thing with the Embiid games is that he just runs out of gas after halftime. Not so much in the Memphis game, which we'll talk about. We are recording after their loss to Memphis, but Embiid being gassed in the second half has been a bit of a theme these first few weeks. And yeah, another loss dropped him to 2-11, Lucas. What were your main takeaways from this game before we kind of dive into what happened after the game, which was pretty noticeable and really what everyone's here to listen to us talk.
Well, I mean, it's the tale of two different types of stars, right? Jimmy Butler had missed the last couple games because I think it was an ankle injury or something along those lines. Joel was still making his way back. Joel, 5 of 15, just not it. Jimmy Butler had 30 points, though. Jimmy Butler, significantly older, has a significantly more amount of tread on the tires than Joel. And look, we could talk, we're going to get into it, but look, Miami's... Let's be clear, Eric Spoelstra is one of the best coaches in the NBA. You could argue, you know, top 20 all-time in NBA history, top 15, maybe even top 10, I don't know. Nick Nurse, you know, we like him, but his flaws are especially showing this year in terms of playing older guys over younger guys. This was another prime example that how we lost that lead. You know, you had Eric Gordon Kyle Lowry and Drummond all on the court, who all looked terrible this year. Like, we kind of thought Eric Gordon, we talked about it in the preseason, we thought Eric Gordon was going to be bad, right? So, but then, you know, nobody, and Kyle Lowry, we knew he's 39. Like, we don't expect a lot from him. But they're overplaying Lowry. Eric Gordon looks washed. And Drummond, I think, was the surprise here, because honestly, I don't think either one of us suspected he would look this bad. You don't be smirking over there, you. Anyway, point being here is, it's just, actually, he was a plus 13 in this game. Just going to shout that out there. But, like, overall, it's just not a good look. So, I don't know, man. It's, yeah. It's, you know, let's just get into it. Like, look, you can say Jeremy Cain's the player of the game. Let's just get into the post-game stuff, because that's where it gets really interesting, right?
Yeah, let's do that. There was a report after the game, Lucas, from Shams over at ESPN.
It's weird to say that, right? Shams at ESPN.
Yeah, still getting used to that. Yeah. Basically, after the game, Kyle Lowry called the players and coaches meeting in the locker room. Nurse was late to his post-game press conference. He admitted, you know, I'm here late because we had a meeting. In that meeting, Lucas, Tyrese Maxey reportedly challenged Joel Embiid to stop being late for, quote, everything. That includes practices, team meetings, activities, that kind of thing. Seems from the reporting around this issue that this has been an ongoing problem really since he got to the league. Really not what you want to hear when your team's 2-11 and Joel is playing his worst basketball since, like, he was 17 years old. Embiid allegedly accepted the message, took it to heart. Obviously, him and Tyrese are very close friends. Shams made sure to note that in the article. Like, these are two friends holding each other accountable. Embiid also expressed concerns with how he's being used offensively, which, like, I think we all have concerns with how Nick Nurse is using everyone offensively these days. But really not the best look to be like, hey, dude, you're late for everything. We need you to lead better. And then for your response to be, but how am I being used on offense? That's, you know, I don't love the framing of that report. I'm sure, you know, that's just one perspective of things, of how it's been fed to Shams. That's not the full picture. Lou Williams went on TV today and said basically, like, it's not really as big a deal as it's been cracked up to be. Tyrese and Joel were laughing and talking to each other when I called them on the phone in the locker room, that kind of thing. Like, I don't think there are any chemistry issues here, Lucas.
No.
But the idea that Joel is maybe not the best leader has been a thing. This isn't the first time we've had to talk about Joel being a bit reserved, not always hanging around the team. He's not really a natural born leader. And I think being late to practices and that kind of thing, some people are going to call it arrogance. Some people are just going to say, like, you know, he's too reserved. He's too removed from his teammates. What was your perspective on this whole thing? How you feeling?
First off, in general, I'm just tired this week. I blame my job. But in terms of, like, how I feel about this, you know, you could take the whole entire, like, oh, we got to turn on Joel now, because there's a lot of fans doing that. And you know what? It's somewhat deserved, I think, a little bit. Because while we don't condone what Marcus Hayes ever said about Joel's family, right? You know, his brother and his son. There were other things in that article that he did point out, you know, lack of, you know, lack of leadership, that type of stuff. That was true. That's proving to be somewhat true now. You could take that perspective and kind of, you know, be like, hey, Joel, I've seen plenty of fans do it online. Or you can try to take it as Tyrese Maxey's taking a leadership role on this team. A young guy at 24 probably shouldn't be doing that. And to be fair, Kyle Lowry called the meeting, and that wasn't the only thing talked about at the meeting either. You know, the players wanted to be coached harder. The coaches wanted the players to pay more attention to detail, all those things. And I'm sure there was plenty of other things said that we don't know about, and that's fine. I don't want to know about them, honestly, because I'm sure there's plenty of players that got called out besides Joel. Just that one got leaked because it's a spicy name right now, right? I think it's a good thing. Honestly, I like seeing Tyrese Maxey taking that leadership role, calling out the big fella. And, you know, this kind of reminds me of a little bit of a Shaq and Kobe dynamic, and the fact that, like, Kobe's like, if Shaq actually tried to be in shape, did everything that I did, we would have won like 7 or 8 championships.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I think it's kind of like, that's what I tone it to. You know, obviously Shaq and Kobe's dynamic were completely different, and I'm not trying to say that Tyrese Maxey's Kobe Bryant in any form of the, you know, in terms of an actual player, not even the same similar play style. But while it is concerning to see Joel having to do this at 30, and I'm not giving Joel a pass on this, let's be clear, there are some red flags here, and I think the red flags are starting, because there's nobody else to blame. There's nobody else to blame here. I think that, you know, because, you know, you had Brett Brown, you had Sam Hinkie, you had Jerry Colangelo, you had the Colangelos, you had Tobias Harris, you had Al Horford, you had Ben Simmons, you had all these people to blame for Joel not doing well. Guess what? All those people are gone. Except for maybe Elton Brand, but, you know, Elton's okay in my book, whatever.
Yeah.
So now the question is, how does Joel respond? Well, Joel almost won the Memphis game for us, even though we had no business being in that game. We'll talk about it in a minute here. But yeah, no. I mean, I don't know. I don't know, man. It's good to see Maxey taking the leadership role, but it's disheartening to see that Joel needed to get the kick in the pants at the age of 30 years old.
Yeah, I think both of the things you said are pretty much true, that it reflects poorly on Joel and it reflects very well on Tyrese. Like, if we want to try to find silver linings here, I think Tyrese has pretty clearly, like, ramped up his leadership qualities this season, and he's really trying to be a vocal guy in the locker room and around this team. We saw it back in training camp, and it really comes through in a moment like this where it's clear that not everyone during his tenure in Philadelphia has been willing to challenge Joel on this kind of stuff. So just having the guts to say it to the best player on the team, one of the best players in the league, is a real credit to Tyrese.
The only other player that I feel ever called out Joel was Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, you're probably right on that. Yeah, as far as Joel, I'm not concerned really at all about the on-court stuff. Like, Joel has gotten better every year. I have no doubt that he wants to win and that he's a very competitive player. Like, I think anyone doubting that stuff is just off. Like, Joel has fought through injuries for this team. He's gotten better every year. He works his butt off in the offseason. There's no doubt about his greatness as a basketball player and his desire to win. I don't think that's the issue here. But I do think, as a leader, as a guy who's trying to elevate teammates into, you know, I think he has really been lacking for the majority of his career in that department. He's just never been a natural born leader. We talked about this all the way back when Ben was here. Like, Joel has always been kind of quiet, always kind of off to the side, the guy who stays at home with his family instead of going out to team dinner, that kind of thing, which isn't necessarily bad, but when you're the second best player in the world and you're trying to win a championship, you really need to lead by example, and you can't be showing up late to practices. So hopefully this is like you said, like something that gets Joel kind of out of bed and into the practice gym earlier. Yeah, it's just not a good look. It's a bad look all around for the Sixers. The fact that they're just thinking it up on the court makes this especially like good fodder for the discourse. You know, if this report came out when they were 11-2 instead of 2-11, we wouldn't care. We'd be like, who cares if Joel practices, because he's dropping 50 every night and they're winning games. But because they're having such a bad season, because he's been hurt and suspended and he just hasn't been in game shape yet, this is like a perfect window of opportunity for people to really dump on Joel. So it is what it is. But let's talk about the Memphis game, Lucas. This is the follow-up to all that. After a team meeting where they all challenged each other to be better, be more detail-oriented, to be coached harder, to show up on time, season is almost in the toilet. They don't have really any margin for error, Lucas. They show up to Memphis, first game with their entire Big Three healthy. starting lineup of Maxey, McCain, Embiid, George, and Caleb Martin. And they just get their butts kicked. It was a six-point game, 117-111. Joel, like you said, almost won this game down the stretch on his own. Had his best game of the season by far. 35 points, 11 rebounds in 35 minutes. But this game was not as close as that final score would make it seem. They were down by 15-plus at times in the fourth quarter. Memphis pretty much controlled the second half per this kind of ongoing theme with Philly in the second half of games, Lucas. They got their butts kicked. They lost to an undermanned Memphis team with no Ja Morant, a very long injury report, and the Grizzlies handedly beat them. So, like, what's going on here? After that team meeting, you would think they would show up really determined to get a win. You have to win this game. You cannot lose this game. You can especially not lose it in the same way you've been losing all these other games, by just having low energy, not looking connected at all on defense or offense. Like, it's just the same thing after that very public team meeting where everyone, that felt like a call to arms potentially. It's like a really bad loss. So what were your takeaways from this game, Luke?
I think we need to start talking about Nick Nurse being on the hot seat. I know that, you know, he barely had the players to play with, but at this point, if you can't get your guys, like, it's not like, granted, we lost Paul George in the third quarter because of a hyperextension, but that's been reported at this point. I would guess he's probably out 2 to 3 weeks, just a guess, not reporting anything. Look, and that's not great. But, like, he was having a bad game before then. Let's be clear. It's not like he was making a positive contribution there. And Tyrese Maxey looked really rusty coming back in limited minutes. To be fair, he had 20 minutes. He played 20 minutes, 8 points on 13 shots. Made 0 of his 3-point attempts, okay? McCain was solid. 20 points in 41 minutes. Solid. Take that. Joel, like you said, great. Yabu, great. Drummond, solid. Limited minutes. So, like, it's not like... Reggie Jackson, surprisingly solid. Actually, that was probably the biggest surprise, right? Look, at the end of the day here, I think, like, Nick Nurse, you got to coach with what you got. And if you can't win with at least, like, come on, dude. I get that we're one of the smallest teams in the NBA. I get that we're one of the worst rebounding teams in the NBA. And one of the oldest teams in the oldest team in the NBA. But, like, we got to do something here. Also, maybe we need to reevaluate how well Morey did this offseason, too. And we need to look about some of the older guys he added. Like, why do we add Eric Gordon, Reggie Jackson, Kyle Lowry? You know, Drummond now looks like a bad signing, honestly. Or at least not a great signing. I don't know. So, like...
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Like, it's not a good thing, you know? Not a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, like, I'm not saying to fire Nick Nurse now, but I think the seat's going to start getting a little warm. Your thoughts?
How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, "Happy Friday!" Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Yeah, no, I mean, we can jump into it. Like, the seat should absolutely be warm. I try not to be, like, super reactionary and, like, seat in my pants, like, but you're 2-12 with, again, we both understand that the injuries have been just a deluge this season. There's been too many of them. He's had a crappy hand dealt. The older vets that you're talking about have not performed up to par. Like, he has not been dealt a winning hand. But to be 2-12 with this team, with Jared McCain playing the way he's playing, to have Paul George and Joel and Tyrese in some fashion for a good number of these games, to be 2-12, to lose this game specifically after a team meeting, an hour-long team meeting after a loss, trying to get things back on track to a shorthanded Memphis team with your big three healthy until the third quarter, which we'll talk about. It's really bad. It's like the Sixers are like near the bottom of the league in pace. The offense is near the bottom of the league in scoring. They're just playing like a really crappy team. There's no imagination to how this offense is being run. They're not running sets half the time. They're just kind of stagnant, iso-balling on the perimeter. It's really bad. Like, the offense sucks right now. The defense is completely out of whack. That is supposed to be Nurse's strength, is having really tight, inventive, dynamic defenses, and the screws are just not tight at all right now. They're loose and jangling all over the place. So, I mean, Memphis was picking them apart without Ja Morant. You have Joel, you have Paul George for half this game. He hyperextended his left knee in the third quarter, which is the same knee that he had the bone bruise in during the preseason. Seems like he'll probably miss some time, so don't get used to having the big three back. But you still had Maxey for the whole game on a minutes restriction. You had McCain playing good basketball, Joel playing his best game of the season in a game you needed to win, and you just dropped the ball. Like, the excuses are there. I understand why the Sixers are 2-12. I don't think I'm ready to sit here and say that Nick Nurse is a bad coach. But a lot of the issues that preceded his exit in Toronto are really prominent and popping up this season. Is it because he's had a bad hand dealt? Absolutely. Was he a very good coach last year? I think so. So maybe we should just weather the storm and maybe start trying to think about next year. It doesn't seem like they're going to fire him right now. Daryl Morey and Nick Nurse are both.
I mean, like, who would they hire in his place? There's nobody on the bench that I'm really, like, wild about.
And yeah, so
free agency coach-wise, what, Frank Vogel? No, thank you.
Yeah, so, you know, we saw with Doc last year, hiring a new guy from out of the organization midseason is really tough to do. They're not going to do that. They're not going to fire Nick Nurse this season, but will they fire him after the season if they miss the playoffs?
I could see it.
I'd bet yes. Like, yeah. Someone has to be held responsible for this team underperforming to that extent. It's too early to be like they're going to miss the playoffs, but they are definitely trending in that direction.
Is he safe if they're a play-in team and they get a seventh or eighth seed?
I think it would depend on what happens after that point, but you know, the window with Joel is not infinite. It's a very tight window with Joel and Paul George. Like, they don't have time to waste. So if it's not going to happen with Nick Nurse, they got to move on quickly.
Just to go back to the game here, not about Nick Nurse, there is hope. I did like what I saw from the Jared and Tyrese backcourt in this game in limited minutes. Defensively, it's not like they got cooked or anything. Granted, they're not playing against a super elite offensive unit. Against Memphis is, you know, basically, you know, second tier guys with their main guys being injured, save Desmond Bane. You know, even if it doesn't work out with Paul George and Joel long term, you still have Maxey and McCain. And I don't think it's going to be like a CJ McCollum, Damian Lillard, because I think they're better defensively than both of those guys. So that is a positive there that I just want to point out.
Yeah. I mean, like, on paper, this team works. That is a very good starting lineup that they played today. Like,
yeah, I'm happy that they did that too.
McCain looks very good. He had a pretty quiet, like, second and third quarter in this game. He had 10 points in the first quarter, ended the game with 20. A lot of that scored kind of towards the end. McCain was very good, played 41 minutes. It's clear he's a guy. You have three max contract all-stars. Paul George has not really played like an all-star yet. We'll see how that progresses, see how much time he misses with his knee injury, all that. But Joel clearly still has it. Tyrese had a bad game, but I'm not worried about Tyrese. Even if Paul George misses the next 3 weeks, if you have Joel and Tyrese and McCain, you should be winning games. You should be getting back into the standings. The East is terrible right now. You're still like 4 games out of the 8 seed. All logic points to this not being a point where Philly needs to panic. Like, they have a road back into this thing because the East is so bad. But, like, we have to see it at some point. If you can't wake up the game after that team meeting in Miami against a beat-up Memphis team that doesn't have its best player and has Marcus Smart and several other key players out with injury, if you can't wake up for that game, when are you going to wake up? Joel woke up, but no one else did. Nick Nurse certainly didn't. Like, Joel and McCain played great, and they got their butts handed to them for most of this game by Memphis. So, like, if your best players are playing well and you still can't win, there's some, like, deeper issue going on here. And again, that really circles back to Nurse. So, like, it's hard to be confident because they have all the pieces. Even through these injuries, they've had enough pieces to be better than 2-12.
Yeah. So, and look, we're talking about if the season's salvageable. Look, anybody that's not named McCain, Maxey, Joel, Paul George, everybody else is on the chopping block as far as I'm concerned. Everybody can be touched. There are plenty of teams that have some interesting role players. You know, maybe Yabu's not like you prefer not to trade him, but you would if you need to. And we'll talk about that when we get to around the NBA. But, like, is it salvageable? We'll see. Things got to start turning around, though. Any other thoughts before we go to... We pretty much got through everything. You want to get to around the NBA, or is any other Sixers things that you just want to touch on?
No, we can wrap it up here with around the NBA. Let's just go through it quickly here, Lucas. The reporting from Kelly Eichel of The Athletic basically said Houston does not want to break up its core for Giannis Antetokounmpo. The Bucks are not going to trade Giannis here anytime soon. That much is clear. But the idea of Giannis maybe becoming available in the offseason is definitely floating around. The Bucks are 5-9. They haven't played very well.
They did win tonight.
Houston, you know, fourth place in the West right now, as of this recording, playing really well. They're one of the best defenses in the NBA. They have maybe the best young core in the NBA. Like, Amen Thompson and Tari Eason are playing really amazing basketball right now. Şengün has struggled a bit on offense, but, like, the defense has been really good, which is a change. Jalen Green still has his flashes. Like, Houston's a really good team, and the idea that you wouldn't break up that core, that I don't know has any great players for Giannis, is a little silly. I kind of don't believe it. Like, I understand the concerns with Giannis.
I would make a trade around Şengün and picks, honestly.
Yeah, like,
because, like, Şengün and Giannis doesn't really work, but you know what? You shift Smith to the five, Giannis and Smith and Jalen Green, that's an interesting combo.
I think Giannis and Şengün can work. Yeah, look, I mean, Giannis is like one of the five best players in the world, like point blank. He doesn't shoot. He's over 30. At some point, it'll start to fall off. That's all fair, but he is 30 right now. That's relatively young by NBA superstar terms. Like, he should still have a few years of really high-level basketball left in the tank. And the goal here is to win championships. We know Giannis can do that. So I'm a little bit skeptical of this whole Houston isn't going to trade their players things. I think it's good, like, posturing. And they should be confident in the group that they have right now. They've built a very sustainable winning team. And Ime Udoka is, like, a really great coach and deserves his flowers for that. But, yeah, like, they are totally going to trade for Giannis if it's an option. Like, I really just don't believe this is why I'm bringing it up. Kevin Durant reported several times over these past couple of years as some guy Houston would like to trade for. Like, if one of these super high-level players becomes available, the Rockets have the pieces to get them, and they're going to make it happen. So I just don't buy this current line of reporting, to be honest.
Yeah, that's fair. Look, I mean, yeah, the Bucks did win against the Bulls tonight, but like overall, you're right. It's just not a fun package. But I you know what? I'm going to talk about some other big men, or just, you know, just because like the Portland Trail Blazers have already made the shift. They drafted Donovan Klingon, I think, with what, the 7th overall pick, and not only is he starting, but Robert Williams is the backup, and we're not even seeing Aiden, who was a healthy scratch tonight. Do I think DeAndre Aiden's done being a starting center in the NBA? Probably not, but like, is he done in Portland? It feels like that's the case. Portland has, even though they lost to the Thunder tonight, they've been feisty. They've won a couple games recently here. They're 6-9, but let me say this: I think, you know, if they decide to go the other direction and tank for like Cooper Flagg, Robert Williams would be an interesting addition. I don't think Denny Avdija is on the table, but like maybe you could get Anthony Simons. Well, no, that would take too much money probably. But like you got, they're a team to watch in terms of the trade market. Not for the Sixers, but so, they're an interesting team.
I mean, it is worth noting that Ayton is hurt. He's not a healthy scratch.
So that's not, what on ESPN it's this DMP coach's decision tonight.
He has a finger injury. He's missed a few games. So it's not a healthy scratch. ESPN is wrong. But okay. Klingon has played very well in his absence.
Yeah, very strong defensive presence. Yeah.
I think we'd both agree that he's like the future of the center position in Portland. Really just defensively in every way. He does a lot of really important things for that team that Ayton does not. Like, as far as complementing their guards, you want to build around Scoot Henderson and Shaedon Sharpe and Anthony Simons. Having a really good screen setter and play finisher at the rim and high-level defender behind them is really important. Ayton is not really any of those things. Ayton is kind of like one big hypothetical where he has all the tools to be great at all these things, and it just never really comes together for more than a couple games at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Klingon is just very good at the things that he's good at. He's not going to put up super flashy scoring numbers, but he's going to rebound, set hard screens, finish at the rim, and play really high level defense. He had like an 8-block game recently or something. Like, he's incredible. So yeah, I think the Ayton era is winding down there.
I mean, he's probably just not going to play that much this year, make free agency. He's probably going to take like a mid-level to go somewhere. Where he goes, I don't know where.
We'll see if they can trade him, if someone wants to take him on. I'm a little skeptical.
With the new salary cap rules, man, I just don't see it.
So yeah, that's the thing. I think the ideal outcome is that they can trade him for something, even if it's just for like an expiring salary somewhere, just to get him off the books. I don't know if that'll happen. But yeah, Klingon is really good. Klingon's the real deal. He's a great fit in Portland. There's a reason they really wanted him. There's a reason all these teams are trying to trade up and get him, or there's all that talk about it, at least before the draft. So yeah, I mean, I think we both saw this coming. I know you've had a soft spot in your heart for Ayton in the past, but
I mean, I still do. And look, like, can he rebound from the shore? Where? I have no idea. Maybe the Knicks get him and pair him next to Cat.
You have to defend to play next to Cat. Ayton's not a good defender.
Anyway, maybe he goes to the Lakers. Who knows? Anyway, few other things I wanted to talk about. Former Sixers lottery pick Alfred Payton rejoined the New Orleans Pelicans because they have like 10 players injured. I'm not even joking. It's like 5, 7, or 8 players injured. Shout out to Alfred Payton getting back into the NBA. I've always been a fan of his. I know he can't shoot, but like he's a really good player outside of the shooting.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see about the really good player part.
I mean, I think if he was playing in the league 20 years ago, he'd be a starter. But sure, because of the shooting.
But he's not playing 20 years ago.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Yeah.
Shout out to Alfred Payton getting back into the NBA. Good for him.
Happy for him. I will say, like, we at least have, like, comrades in this whole being depressed thing. Like, Pelican fans are kind of in the same boat as us.
Memphis is they're missing more book. They're missing Memphis a lot
is above 500. Memphis is winning games in the West. Yeah, Memphis is fine. Memphis is having a great season. Yeah. We, at least by our standards, New Orleans is in the dumpster. They're all hurt. They're like 4-11.
Is Willie Green going to get fired? I don't think he should be, but he probably will be, won't he?
Yeah, I think it is less Willie Green's fault what's happening in New Orleans than it is Nick Nurse's fault what's happening in Philly. I think Nurse deserves more blame than Willie Green.
Yeah. Because honestly, it's just like I know like New Orleans has done a great job getting picks and like drafting players, but they do not have roster balance. Free agency, they've messed up. They've messed up in trades. Just not a good fit. You know, just not good stuff.
Hey, I mean, here's my pitch. Let's just swap coaches. Let's trade Nick Nurse for Willie Green.
I don't know, man. I mean, Willie did play for the Sixers at one point. Pretty sure.
I could get behind it in my current state of mind.
Could you? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, look. You know, there are some teams that are. You look at the standings here. I'm pulling them up right now. That we did not expect to be in the bottom of the standings. Shout out to Detroit for being a play-in team, by the way. I don't think anybody really expected that at this point in the season. They're seventh in the East. Only two games from being 500. Wow. With the Bucks win tonight, they are back in the play-in. So, in the East, like, everybody else in the that's not in the play-in, the Bulls, the Hornets, the Raptors, the Wizards, everybody expected those guys to be there. The Nets and the Pistons are in the play-in. That's the Nets and Pistons are very surprising. In the West, Dallas and New Orleans are the teams that are struggling right now. Also, I had to explain what the new Clippers logo was to somebody today because I didn't get that it was a compass and a ship in the, one and the same.
Clippers a type of boat.
I know.
Yeah. Look, I don't expect Brooklyn to remain in the play-in tournament. I think Detroit maybe could do it.
They're feisty. They're feisty. Tobias Harris, big free agent offseason acquisition for the Detroit Pistons. I'm sorry.
Tobias Harris has better numbers than Paul George right now.
That is, don't say that.
So yeah, like Detroit.
I'm ready to go.
Me too, brother. I'm in the same boat.
Don't say that.
It's just a thing that like merits being said, unfortunately. But yeah, let's wrap it up. Go Sixers. We'll talk to y'all soon. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Sixers Sense podcast. Despite how bad and awful this team is, we do really appreciate you guys tuning in. As always, we love you guys. We'll be back soon to talk about this team through thick and thin, probably thick or thin or whichever one's, who knows. We'll be back soon. You can follow us on Twitter at SixerSense. I'm at KleinNBA. Lucas is at Coach_J20. You know, we're on the internet at thesixersense.com. You can subscribe on Spotify and Apple Podcast. All that fun stuff. We'll talk to you soon. Go Sixers. Still, somehow. And we will we'll be back next Wednesday. Thursday morning. Peace, y'all.
Adios.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, "Happy Friday!" Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.